Blog Talk Radio. To the Brownstone on the Voices of Hope Radio Network, and I am your girl Tracy B, and I cannot tell you how happy and excited I am today. But let me get back to this. You know that I'm going to rock the mic tonight with content that is empowering, inspiring, and transforming. So guess what? Grab your favorite beverage, find that favorite chair, call a friend or two, and join in the conversation. And guess what, y'all? Welcome to the Brownstone.
This fall and winter, flu viruses and COVID-19 may both spread. It's more important than ever to reduce the risk of flu for yourself, your family, and your community. And getting a flu shot is one way to do that. The flu shot is safe for all ages and all health conditions and is free to all Indigenous people because we tend to have higher health risks than others.
If you love to read, you are in the right place. The Sisters of Literature is an interactive, multi-platform book club. Each month, we bring together passionate readers to review, discuss, share experiences, and inspiring stories about this month's book. Throughout the month, there are social media discussions and live chats that readers can join. So head on over to Facebook and join Sisters of Literature today.
Welcome back to the Brownstone, and yes, it's me, your girl, Tracy B. I am excited, as always, to be on this side of the world, on this side, waking up, getting another chance and getting another opportunity to do exactly what God called me to do, and tonight that just happens to be entertaining you. You know, I want to make sure that you connect with the Voices of Hope Radio Network on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you know what? You can connect with me too, but make sure that you connect with the Voices of Hope Radio Network. You guys, it is almost that time. It's time for the Sisters of Literature Holiday Book Exchange. I don't know about you, but I love reading a good book. And I know you do too. So I am inviting you to make sure that you go to our Facebook page and simply join in the fun. The fun happens next Saturday, which happens to be December the 19th from 4 to 5 p.m. So it's the holiday book exchange from 4 to 5 p.m. We here at the Voices of Hope Radio Network are proud sponsors along with the Sisters of Literature Book Club for this event. So once again, join us that time. And if you have any problem or need any details, make sure that you call us at 845-277-9371, and we'll make sure that you get all the details needed. Today has been a crazy kind of day, and, you know, I've been having conversations here and there, but I want to ask you this. Have you lost your passion? You might say, Tracy, what are you talking about? You know, the famous quote says, do something you love and you won't work a day in your life. Do you believe that? It's a phrase that we hear all the time, but is it true? Maybe, maybe not. Sometimes what happens is we love our jobs and we get bored with it. It grows bland over a period of time, or it's no longer challenging. Maybe it's too stressful, or maybe it's too much corporate red tape, just too much red tape. No matter what it is, it's just too much stuff to be going through. But don't worry, you are not the only one. Believe it or not, they say, according to the Gallup survey, that one-third of the U.S. employees bring consistently high levels of initiative, commitment, passion, and productivity to their job. But then we have that two-thirds. Are you in that two-thirds or are you in that one-third? Where are you? But we know sometimes we tend to lose our passion for the things that we once loved or we once did. But what happens when you lose your passion? What are you supposed to do? They often say to discover what you love, you have to dedicate your life to mastering it and maximizing the impact once you discover what you love. But now I'm not in love with what I love anymore. I don't know if you're following me, or even if you've been there, I am unmotivated about what I love. What is it that I'm going to do? And I just want to share with you today, a lot of times as we grow more mature throughout this lifetime, what we desire, what we want changes, or life happens and we get unmotivated. But what are you to do? How do you get it back? Where do you go? Is it someplace you can go? I mean, just what do you do when you're unmotivated and you lost your passion? You know, Oprah Winfrey says it like this: passion is energy. Feel the power that comes from focusing on what excites you. So what excites you? Do you still know? Has it changed? How do you get that excitement back? I lost my motive. I lost my job. Tracy, I just don't know what to do. So what should I do? Guess what, guys? I am so glad you asked me. I am excited that you asked me. The first thing you should do is take some time off. That's right. I know you said we've been in COVID since March. What do you mean take some time off? But even through all of that, you can find yourself in a stressful situation, because guess what? The environment that you're in, it may have zapped all your energy, your creative thoughts. It's nothing different. It's just routine. It's getting kind of crazy, and I can't think or hear myself. So you got to take some time off. You got to take some time to yourself, whether it's a week, a weekend, or just a day. The more time, the better. Something is better than nothing. So you have to get that time if you lost your passion. Also, you need to go somewhere that's far away from home. I don't mean just to the mall. Go somewhere far. Enjoy yourself. Make it a day trip where it's just you, your thoughts, and I like to say the main ingredient, God. Make sure you do that. This could mean driving somewhere, an hour trip or somewhere. It doesn't make a difference how far you go, but just go somewhere. Find yourself a peaceful surrounding so that your mental shift can change and that you can find clarity and then begin to proceed again. Point number two, we rediscover your child, your inner child, that little person you were. What didn't make it, this is just what I love to do. My thing, I used to love to make mud pies. You know, well, I don't think that'll work right about now, but I used to love to make mud pies. Rediscover your inner child. Find out what it is that you liked when you were younger. Because most likely it's still there, but it's just a bigger thing. So take a minute to pay attention to how you're feeling about each of the things that you used to do. Take time out to do a little bit of journaling and write down what you're really passionate about, the things that drives you in that part of your life. What drives you? What motivates you? Because you're still motivated. You just lost it a little bit. Point number three, get in touch with your emotions. If you've been listening to us, not us, if you've been listening to the Voices of Hope Radio Network and you heard the mental health strategist, she comes in and she makes sure that we stay in touch with our emotions. It's okay to feel how you're feeling because we got to work through it. We got to work through it. So now that you know, you're taking a break and you're finding, you're getting back connected with that inner child that you have and you're writing everything down and you're in touch with your emotions, now it's time to move forward. Once you figure out the path that you must go, how to get your motivation back, not to lose your passion, what you truly are passionate about, settle on something and begin to move forward. We all have on this life journey, and it changes from time to time, and that's okay. And we can find ourselves in a rut, and that's okay. But get up. Dust yourself off, open up your journal out about it a little bit, and get moving. So once again, it's me, your girl, Tracy B, and we're going to be back after this commercial break.
Right now I have 25 minutes to look at new ingredients.
20 minutes to look at this prototype.
7 minutes to look over contracts.
6 minutes to look at other ingredients.
4 minutes to look into testing new products. And testing new products.
3 minutes to transfer funds on Chase.com.
2 minutes to not look at my breakfast and my lunch and my dinner. But I only need a minute to review my business account on Chase.com.
We've improved Chase.com for your business. A faster way to view your accounts, credit card activity, and pay your bills so you can spend time looking after everything else. Chase for Business.
Starting a nonprofit organization is an exciting experience. It gives you an opportunity to turn your passion for giving and serving others into a reality. However, starting a nonprofit also comes with a lot of challenges. Many organizations fail before they launch by not knowing how to set up their organization correctly. Don't get frustrated trying to navigate through the IRS tax exemption paperwork to start a nonprofit. Register your charitable organization, or even if your status has been revoked. Let our professional staff do the work for you. We are helping nonprofits run like for-profits. Schedule your discovery call today by visiting our website at thenonprofitcoach.org or by calling 240-547-8780.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Brownstone, and it's me, Tracy B. And tonight, I am always excited to have this beautiful young lady in our studio. You know her as Lady Quarterback. I know her as a friend, a confidant. I know her just to be who she is. So let's welcome back home, because she's always at home when she's here, none other than LaTanya Rush, better known as Lady Quarterback. LaTanya, are you in the building, Lady Quarterback? Are you here?
I'm here. Hey, family.
Oh, you are here. Did you get an opportunity to watch any of the football games today? I know it was a couple of plays you may have would have wanted to change. I don't know about you, but I told the audience last week that I am a Baltimore Ravens fan, and they don't play until tomorrow. But, you know, it's been interesting. Just like this year, things are unpredictable. But even in the everything being unpredictable, God still shows up. And I just got to toss that in there. God still shows up. He still shows up no matter, because if you're faithful to him, you honor him, you stay true to him, God will bless you every time. And that was just a side bit, because we know we're talking about some of us that have lost our passion and finding out whether we are authentic, all of those things. So, Lady Quarterback, can we, you know, what's your favorite team?
I really don't have a favorite team. However, if I had to choose, of course, I'm going to choose the Chicago Bears. Home, there's no place like it.
Absolutely right. There's no place like home. So that's why we're excited to have you home tonight. Even though you're a Chicago Bears fan, I guess you got a rep from where you're from. So I can understand that. But, you know, Lady Quarterback, I was going through your book again. And I said to myself, she says that there are 21 keys that opens locked doors. Now, I started to say, and I'm just going to be honest, I hope I don't need all 21 keys to lock those doors, because – you know, to unlock those doors, because I think about how big the Brownstone is, and I want to get into the room. So if I got the wrong key, I'm not going to get in. So I hope that I only need one key to get into that one room. But you're bringing us, and you're talking about 21 keys to open locked doors, and we went over some of those keys, but tonight I want you to just touch on a few, because we're in that time of year where, you know, we begin to make New Year's resolutions. But I'm like you, because I know you don't wait till the beginning of the year to make the resolution. You make them all throughout the year, because things happen and life happens, and I don't believe we should wait to one time. But we talked about who are you? We talked about your vision and your purpose. And then in here, I think we even talked about setting boundaries a little bit. But you have talked about why apologize, self-perception, self-integrity, love yourself. That's one of my favorites. Finding your true self. So I'm just going to stop right there for a minute so you can jump in.
So first of all, I want to say thank you so much for having me back, always having the door open for me. It is a humbling, especially during this time, it's very humbling to be in the presence of people and to be welcomed into their home during the pandemic and into their comfortable spaces for that matter. I'm also learning during this pandemic, not just my physical space, but also my mental and spiritual and emotional space as well, must be protected from any virus that can walk in and kind of mess up my flow, if you will. And it's not like, you know, I'm being mean or arrogant about it, just being safe. So this pandemic has also taught me to guard those doors as well. You talked about the keys and the doors, and these keys are really lessons, right? And life is a journey full of lessons. So one of the things that I have learned is that we don't get our lessons. We don't acknowledge our lessons. That's Rudy in the background doing my background music with a toy. I apologize. We don't apply our lessons, and we don't recognize them as lessons. So one of the things that Holy Spirit had me to do was say, okay, well, let's look at your lessons as keys. Thank you, honey. Look at your lessons as keys. And what does keys do? Keys are used to unlock locks. So if I look at my lessons as something that unlocks something to give me access or interest into something, then I'll look at my journey a lot differently. Two things that you said, and I wanted to make sure that I kind of cover with the listening family, is one of the things you said was authentic. And I wanted to read the definition of that because you mentioned it and I did have it up here so I could be ready. Okay, and authentic is genuine, right? It's of undisputed origin. So I wanted to make sure that we had clarity on when we say finding our authentic self or revealing our authentic self. That is the undisputed origin of who we are, right? That is when God had it for us to be created before the foundations of the world that we always say, what did he have in mind that we will look like? Now, first of all, we know that we are made in his image, so he had himself in mind when he created us. But the beauty of it is that we all hold and we all carry a special characteristic, a special feature that is unique to us, right? So when we were born and we came through the canal and we inhaled and exhaled outside of the womb and we let out our first cry, there was a characteristic that we came out with. One of the things that I have realized for me is that life altered that origin or that undisputed origin, right? I had experiences, abuse, abandonment, low self-esteem, disappointments. A list can go on and on and on. But one of the things that my book, the purpose of the book is to identify that, A, that life brought those things, and then to kind of get us back to that undisputed origin or us being the genuine or authentic purpose that we was created or purpose for before the foundation of the world. Another thing that you said that I wanted to touch bases on is lost. You kept talking about lost and we lost our passion and we lost our drive. And that word, we have to be mindful of our words. So I wanted to give a definition of lost is denoting something that has been taken away or cannot be recovered. So I want to challenge the listening family. Going into 2021, never say you lost your passion, because your passion it can't be recovered. It was not removed. It wasn't taken away. As you were talking earlier, and I'm sitting here, Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and he said, it wasn't that it was lost, evolved, right? Our passion evolved. Our focus evolved. And it's not a bad thing. So when we talk about being genuine and authentic, we need to make sure that we renew our minds and that we stay focused and we really pay attention, because society, culture, family, religion, beliefs and values and all of those things that play an important part in our lives will get us kind of like misdirected, I'll say, a little bit. Your passion wasn't lost. So I'm going to encourage the person that think their passion was lost and think they were off. Your passion wasn't lost. You evolved, so your passion evolved. You said something very key. You are now focused on something else. And the beauty of life is discovery. So now you're on a journey to discover what this evolved nature of who you become, what they like. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to stop because, you know, I can go on and on. When I turned 50 this year, everything that I liked when I was 47, 48, or 49, I ain't like it. So here comes this 50-year-old LaTanya Rush. And she like a whole lot of new stuff, right? Taste has totally changed. My patience is very thin. I have a very low tolerance for a lot of stuff. And it's just like, I don't know this person. I don't know who she is. I don't know what she likes. I don't know what she don't like. And what do we do when we go into a relationship with somebody that we got interest in, right? So, you know, I got my little eye on somebody. I got an interest of somebody. And I pay attention to them. What do they say? What, you know, the things that they like. You know, oh, okay, that person likes that, right? He likes that. Oh, you know what? He always say that. So I had to learn to do that for myself. I had to learn to pay attention to the 50-year-old, right? The 50-year-old LaTanya to see what she liked and what she didn't like. I had to pay attention to her. I had to build a relationship with her. So that's going to kind of segue into finding your true self. But one of the things I did want to say is your passion wasn't lost. It just evolved. And now you're on a journey to discover what this new level or dimension of passion requires.
So let's talk about that a little bit. Let me interject just a little bit. Because if to me, just to me, I no longer have a desire to do what once made me passionate about it, that I was passionate about. So I hear you saying I evolved, but I evolved with a new passion because I'm no longer passionate about that thing that got there. I just believe that sometimes we lose our passion. We lose our zeal. We lose our that it takes to keep going. We lose our passion or our desire for something. And so we develop.
There's a difference
something.
Between a passion and a desire, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, help a sister out. Help me out here tonight.
So let's look up the word passion. There's a difference between a passion and desire. Go to the meaning of passion.
So desire means a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. That's a desire.
Right.
So passion means, let me look it up because, you know, listening audience, you know she always comes with her dictionary. So passion means a strong and bearable, controllable emotion.
Right.
That's the first passion. That's what definition one, number one means. And then it says definition number two, which is amazing to me, talks about the suffering and death of Jesus. That's definition number two when it comes to passion. So I need you to help me explain, help me here, because I was once passionate. I had this compelling emotion about doing something. It was my passion, and I lost my passion for that. So it was
a
controllable emotion.
Did you lose
that,
it?
Yeah, I lost it.
Right.
I don't want to do it no more. No one do it
so
no more.
So you
it's
don't
want to
do it no more because... So was that a passion or was that a desire? Because the things that you're passionate about, you still do them. Passioning is deeper. It's a deep. It's a powerful or compelling emotion. That's deep. That's deep, right? You have a passion to serve people. You ain't going to lose that. You have a passion to be the best wife and the best grandmother and mother. You have a passion to put information out to women. You have a passion to serve. That's a, you're not going to lose that.
You don't lose your passion.
So
now,
you're saying
you
don't
lose
the passion, it just may, or we don't lose our passion, but we lose our desire, but our passion may diminish a little bit, and we got to get it back. I'm just trying to understand and help the listening audience along with myself.
I hear you. But I'm also trying to make sure that we are mindful of what we say and how we say it. Because you know why? Then you're going to be walking around here and be like, I lost my passion. And words are powerful. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if you're telling me that you lost your passion, you lost your compelling emotion and your powerful, you lost that, then what you still here for? Why are you still serving if you lost that?
That's a good question.
Right? When you talked about the passion, you talked about Christ. As much in the garden as he was like, listen, Father, Daddy, I'm not feeling this for these people. Now, you know they finicky, and they done did all of this other, and you still want me to go to the cross? You still want me to die? And not just for these people that I see. You want me to do it for people that I'm not even going to be able to lay physical, fleshly eyes on in the future? You want me to? He had this conversation, and it was so deep that his sweat was blood. But even in all of that, he said, not my will, but yours. And his passion for that took him to the cross to die. He didn't lose that. Now, his conversation may have been based on his desire to be obedient, but his passion said, because you have purpose and because this is what you must do, because I love my children and this is what you were created for, he still allowed Judas to kiss him on the cheek. He didn't lose that. So when we say we lost our passion, that's really deep. That's really deep. You may have lost your desire. You may have, you also said another word, your motivation. So what I have been challenging people and those around me, especially during this time of COVID, when the things that we used to love to do and that we desire to do and the things that we did because we could, now we literally have to recreate or create something new to fuel that part of us, right, that boy. I would take myself out to dinner in a heartbeat, right? I'm a shopper. I can window shop. I ain't got to say, I can go with little money, and I ain't going to say I was broke. But I can go with little money, window shop, try on clothes, and leave, and I'm okay. When COVID first hit and I couldn't go to the malls, I was devastated. What am I going to do? Then I couldn't get up, and my routine was shaken. I couldn't get up. I couldn't go to work, and all of that was disrupted. For the first 45 days, I had no motivation. I had no motivation because I was lost. I didn't know what to do because everything got disrupted. I didn't lose my passion, but I had to then, that passion that I have allowed me to recreate in the midst of the pandemic. It allowed me to take the lemons and make lemonade. So the first thing that I want to do while I'm sitting here in the brownstone as your encourager for the evening is to really think about what you're passionate about. To really think about, one of the conversations I had with my team was, remember your why. Now, we may lose that. We may lose focus on our why. We may lose focus on our, our purpose, but we will never lose our passion. Especially if we're passionate about something. We may lose motivation. I lose motivation all the time. That's just because I'm older and I just be tired. I mean, can y'all tell me some good vitamins or something? Because I'll be bad. That's just, that's me. That was a sidebar I was trying. If y'all can inbox or just kind of call JC and let me, give me some suggestions, because I'm supposed to be tired at 50. And I have no motivation, but my passion and my drive is what keeps me going. So we don't lose our passion, especially if we're passionate. We don't lose our passion. You know, that thinking of getting the definition and really applying it appropriately, you lose your motivation, you lose your desire. But if you lose your passion, then we need to talk. Because that means you don't feel like doing up. You've given completely up. There are people, thank you, Holy Spirit, there are people that are walking the streets, and I call them modern-day zombies, that have lost their passion. They've lost their passion to live. So what do? They do self-destructive things because they have no passion. They have no passion. They have no motivation. They have no desire. Life has become so heavy. People that commit suicide lost their passion. They have given completely up. When you lose your passion, you don't want to live. How can you? Especially if passion is that deep, compelling emotion. Right? And we've been disappointed. We've been devastated. Self-medicating isn't working. You know, all these other things aren't working that we try to do to kind of feel that. And it's just like, okay, you know what? I ain't got it. It's easier for me not to be here than to try to figure it out. The listening family, I don't believe, is at that point. If you are at that point, I encourage you to seek help. Because I'm not going to say and assume that you aren't. If you are, if you're depressed where you cannot get out the bed, if you are chronically depressed, if you are feeling heavy, if you are having thoughts of suicide, seek help immediately so that you can get your passion back. Those of us that have not lost our passion and that we just don't have a desire and we ain't motivated, go back and think about your why. Why do you do what you do? Why do you like your job? Why do you start your business? Why did you start your nonprofit? You may have to go back and you may have to think about that, because you may have elevated and you may have evolved because the world has changed. So you may have to tweak some things.
Right. And like,
take some time off. Get in touch with your emotions.
Yeah, take some time off. Get in touch with your emotions. Get back to that childlike state so we can be passionate.
Yes.
We gotta be beyond passion. I believe that we don't use passionate. No, we're gonna do it regardless. But I believe that we can use our passion, because you just gave a perfect scenario on why some people can lose their passion. But we got to remain motivated, desire, and understand your why. And we're going to be right back after this commercial break.
I got a great story to tell you. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and 2020 had been rough. So Santa decided the season couldn't be merry without the one and only Mariah Carey.
This Christmas, we could all use a little magic.
Welcome back to the Brownstone, and once again, we're here with Lady Quarterback. And, of course, she's calling all of the plays as she normally does. We've been talking tonight about we got to that place where we're talking about being passionate, but we're talking about her successful book where she talks about the 21 keys that open locked doors. And she gave us, any of you been around Lady Quarterback, you know that you might as well carry your dictionary along with you, because she's going to give you the definition and teach you how to apply it. So we just got that lesson. But I want to talk about some other chapters in your book. One of them, it talks about one key is why apologize, the key to freedom, and let it go.
You want to talk about all those keys?
I just want to talk about, at least why apologize, because I think a lot of times we get stuck in a particular position, whether it's offense or defense, because we don't want to apologize. Just help us out there, just a tad.
Well, that key, why apologize, plays into being authentic, right? And what I did was I learned that lesson of what does it mean when we say we're sorry? And, of course, you know, me and my dictionary, kind of looked up the word sorry and what that means. And then, you know, just kind of breaking down, do we really mean that we're sorry? Right? So we'll say, you know, I'm sorry. But the question is, are you really sorry? Right? Usually we say that when we don't want to offend or hurt nobody's feelings. Not really because we really mean it. I mean, we're just going to be honest. We didn't really say it because, you know, we were really sorry. Unless we're really sorry, you know. And you can tell the difference when you're, like, really, really sorry. So the definition of sorry is feeling regret, sympathy, pity, sorrow, you know, those kind of things. We do say that we're sorry. But when I really kind of evaluated that in my life, I really used it because I didn't want to offend or hurt nobody's feelings. That's really what it was. And I kind of noticed that I used it, I misplaced the meaning of that, because that's what we're taught to do, right? My little sisters and brothers, for example, I do something and they run and tell, right? They're going to tell mama me. What do mama make you do? Say you sorry. You don't want to say you sorry because you did what you did, because they probably made you mad, right? My little sister probably did something. My brother probably ate my food, because that's what he always did when we was growing up. And so what did I do? I probably hit him or threw the empty container at him and hit him in the head. Now he crying. Now he ate my food. I respond. He cry and go tell. But then I got to say I'm sorry. Why? Because he was crying. So what did my mother say? Say you sorry. Now say you sorry. We do that to poor kids. We sorry kids. We apologize for making you say you sorry when you really ain't want to. And my mother made me say I was sorry, and I didn't want to say I was sorry. But what did I say? I'm sorry. Just so he could stop crying, because he was getting on her nerves. And I still ain't got my food because he done ate it. I'm sorry, I was triggered. It kind of took me back. but in that, that key kind of taught me, like, to really, really evaluate my apology. And then certain incidents or, be, you know, just certain interactions, do I really owe one? Do I owe an apology for being me? Why do I have to apologize for being me? Because somebody was offended? So is that really my problem? You know, we kind of do that as well, and we find ourselves doing that, especially those of us that have strong personalities, right? Very strong. Like, I have a very strong personality. I understand that, right?
And what I have learned to do is be mindful, but I don't apologize for who I am. One of the things I've learned is that I'm not called to everybody. So I don't try to save everybody. My purpose is not for everybody, right? Every team, every football team has a quarterback. Can that quarterback activate and do quarterback responsibilities on every team that they're placed on? Absolutely. Why? Because that's their position. However, they can only do it for one team at a time. I'm not called to everybody. Everybody can't handle me. I shoot straight from the hip. I don't sugarcoat. I'm sensitive and I'm mindful. But I tell people, when you come across me and we interact, that means you have bypassed everybody else. And God said, okay, you know what? You're going to need somebody that ain't going to play with you. You're going to need somebody that's just going to give it to you authentic and genuine, because that's what you need. So I'm very mindful. I'm very confident in myself. I don't have to apologize for that. For years, I used to kind of shrink back or not be all of me because I would offend people. But when I learned that I didn't really have to do that and just be mindful and sensitive, now don't get me wrong, I'm not a bully. I don't go around bullying people. I am not overbearing. I'm not overpowering. But I am who I am, which is actually another key in the book. I am who I am. And at this time and this season in my life, I'm very confident in that. And I don't have to apologize. And I very rarely explain it. Because at the end of the day, I'm not asking you to like it or love it. I'm just asking you to respect me, because I'm owed that. As a human being, I'm owed respect.
Right. That's the key, and that's a lot of part that we don't think about. We owe the common courtesy, the common respect in anything. Even, you know, I often think about it and know much how I am not in agreement with the things that he does. I hear people referring to President Trump as number 45. He's President Trump. He's earned that right. 10 million people, how many other people voted for him this time around, and he's earned that much respect. You got to respect the position that we play. And everybody plays a position, because you just talked about it. Everybody plays a position. Everybody has a role. Everybody has a role. Everybody has a position. And we got to respect that regardless, because when you respect that, then it leads to your next key. I'm skipping all over, but you talk about the key to freedom. So when you're able to understand that you don't, you know, why you needed to apologize or didn't need to apologize, then that leads you to some sense of freedom. I'm quite sure it does. Right, Lady Quarterback? It leads to some sense of freedom.
Yes, absolutely. It leads you to, you're free to be you. Right? The very first time I realized that I was free, it was scary, because we don't realize how, and it's not that we're bound, per se, but we're not free to be. Just free to be. Like, my responses lately have no motives, underlying motives, right? I'm not saying nothing to get revenge or to prove a point or to be validated. None of those. I'm just saying it because I'm just saying it. And when people do or say something, it's just like, oh, okay. You know, and I'm not saying as if I'm not heartless, because that is far from the truth. as a matter of fact, being free and being authentic, I think my heart is as big now as it has ever been.
and I'm very compassionate, very humble, all of those things, and I don't have to try to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
My thing is
mm-hmm.
I just make a choice, put myself in a position, and I kind of choose if I'm going to do it or not, and then I either do it or not, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I get clarity mm-hmm. on what my purpose is, you know, what I'm supposed to do, and I just do that, and I'm okay. And I go about my business. Like, it's just really light. Now, you know, I have a huge responsibility. Don't get me wrong. I'm accountable for a team of women. I launched a lipstick line in November. I'm working on book number two. I finished book number one. I'm doing classes. So it's not like I'm not present, available, and, you know, like working and producing. It's just that I'm free. Nothing is tied to it. I set a plan. I set goals. You know, I set strategies. I create. And I manifest. And it has nothing to it.
So that's great because, you know, when we one of your keys is say trust your choices. So I see where in that scenario you gave us, you told, you know, you let us know that, you know, I made these decisions and I trust my choices. I know what I'm
mm-hmm.
going to do. I've already
mm-hmm.
had a plan out. So I want you to tell the listening audience about the plan for the classes with this book, because I understand that you are you have a classes coming up in January or sometime in 2021 where you're going to actually
mm-hmm.
talk about these keys, and it says how I find my authentic self. So tell us a little bit about the classes.
Well, one of the things that Holy Spirit had given me in the completion of the book, which is actually a working journal, so it's 21 keys. I kind of give explanation of the key from a lived perspective. There's a reflection question, and then there are lines for the reader to answer the question for themselves. And so when I finished the book and, you know, people were buying the book, I was getting all of this feedback, then, you know, I just heard the Spirit say, you can't leave the people like that. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I gotta live the lines and put it in the book. And he's like, nope, that's not enough. So he challenged me to create a curriculum. It's a 10-week curriculum that I am going to release in the first quarter of 2021. And it's called Journey to Authenticity. And what we're going to do is we're going to take each and every key in the book, and we're going to kind of talk through it, you know, and tailor make it and like tailor it to the participants of the course and kind of make it personal. So you have this example, you have this manuscript, and so we're going to really take each key and kind of break it down and kind of journey through that together.
Wow. So I need you to tell the listening audience how to connect with you, of course, so if they're interested in taking this course. So how can they connect with you?
You can go to my website, www.latonyarush.com, and that's LatoniaRush.com. Or, of course, you can find me on social media. Facebook is capital L-A space capital TONIARUSH. And then Instagram, I am Latonya Rush on Instagram as well.
All right. Thank you. Listening audience, I cannot tell you or thank you enough, but I want to share with you that you give yourself a round of applause because you've journeyed with me for 11 weeks. And this is our last episode for our last show for 2020. So I can't leave out here without thanking and giving some shout out to my guests. So let me do the roll call. If I miss you, don't charge it to my heart, but you know, just a bad memory. Felicia Harris, Valerie Holmes, Vanessa Mills, Fahima Johnson, Kimberly Logan Taylor, Sam Underwood, Joyce Baylor, Tracy Bio, Minister Shauna, Burrell, Rekia Speaks, and of course the mental health strategist Kim Leslie Underwood, and then none other than Lady Quarterback that's here tonight. So I am excited, and I thank you for joining me for this season. I will be back, not I, but we will be back with some awesome shows coming up in 2021. Look for us at the end of January. But you know, this is my favorite part because I love to rock out on to leave the show on our theme song. But before we do that, I want to see if the producer wants to jump in and has something to say really quick before, you know, it's time to check out and we'll rock right on out tonight. She's probably in the brown, in the kitchen somewhere, because you guys know she loves to eat. So she's in the kitchen somewhere.
I was about to choke on the spaghetti. Oh, I did. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's been amazing. It has been an awesome journey with you. I thank you so much, Tracy Brown, Tracy B. I am excited what you have done here on this platform. The brownstone is looking good, and I'm so thankful for every guest. I thank the audience. I thank you, Lady Quarterback, for coming in, you know, every second of the month, giving us some keys to help us, and you ended us on a high note to just get us in shape for 2021. So I thank y'all. Happy holidays to everyone, and we'll be back next year, 2021. God bless you all.
And so tonight we're going to rock right on out of here. We thank our 72-plus thousand listeners for joining us, and we'll see you in 2021. Wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah, this has been a blessing.
Absolutely.